What's up, y'all? This is Jeffy at Jeffy TV coming to you live on Memorex from the ultimate remote location. And as you see, you may look, I'm walking backwards, right? Because once again, in this godforsaken city that I love so much, vehicles will run you over. Pedestrians get absolutely no respect in this city. The first couple times, I thought it was, you know, oh, okay. And this has been going on for over a year, a couple years now I've been out here walking. First couple times a car run by me, a little too close, I go, huh, okay. Or a car, a cut in front of me. I'm halfway walking across the street. I'm halfway walking across the street and a car will swing around into the far lane to get by me before I get across the street. It happened today. As soon as I got out here, it was pretty much a street like this one coming up. But it may have been a little wider. You know, of course, there's no crosswalk lanes. And there was no light or stop sign. So, you know, I'm just walking. I keep walking. I get, say, to the middle. Now watch, he's going to do it again. He's just going, you know, he ain't going to stop. They ain't going to stop for you. Now, granted, I don't think that I'm going to get run over. I don't think these people are going to run me over. But the culture here is, I ain't going to hit you. What you talking about? It's obvious, tough guy. And I'm a Youngstown person. I believe in that Midwest toughness. You know, that hard life. You ain't dead yet. You know, I didn't hit you. What you worried about? But hell, when I'm out here walking and these cars come flying by me, it's happened way, way, way too many times. Way, way, way too many times. It's happened again. See, I fucking sure car just rolled by me just now. If you out here and you walking, you one of the cars. You better act like you one of the cars. Or they treat you. I think it's definitely a culture thing because it happens too many times around too many people. In LA, when I'm walking, maybe because in a bigger city, metropolitan city, people are used to pedestrians and they treat them differently. They used to be in downtown or something. And knowing how you got to wait to see if a pedestrian is going to step off the corner or not, so you're really hesitant. Here, no. They go. They go, and I guess they expect the pedestrian to adjust. Because I'm walking across pretty much street like this. Pretty much street just like this. It was probably just like this. But there was no light. And even if there was a light, there was no light. You know, no cars was coming. And I got about like halfway across the street and a guy comes swinging, made the right in front of me, came swinging all the way around to the point he almost hit the curb on the other side. Okay, I might be exaggeration, but it's something like that. He was definitely in the far lane, the opposing traffic lane. And as he spun, you know, he pointed at me and said, you know, not like, he was like, you know, he acknowledged that he at least saw me. And I was like, what the hell? And then I'm walking again. Just a little bit later, and I'm thinking about making this video because I'm already a little bit pissy about it. And I'm walking again, and I see this white car come up, swing up, makes a right on a corner, and uses the parking lot to make a U-turn. And it was as they was coming out the parking lot to make that U-turn, I'm walking up. And here they come. And I'm looking. And the passenger was like, and I was like, okay, I'm just saying. And that was like the second time today. That was just today. And then I'm walking up here again, another time today. I'm walking, and there was a car in the left lane. And I was going to turn the camera. No, I don't even think I had the camera on yet. It was a car in the left lane. I said, oh, okay, this car in the left lane is going to wait. It's not going to try to, you know, sweep in front of me or try to get by me really quick. And I was like, okay, cool. And as soon as I stepped across, there was a car behind me. You can hear them, they're too close. There was a car making a right. I'm coming this way. And it was opposing, I'm coming this way. There was a car making over here in the left lane, coming that, we're gonna make a left. And it waited for me. I don't know if it waited for me because it was a car coming or whatever. And I was like, oh, that's nice. And as soon as I got almost a quarter of the way across the road, a car behind me making a right zooms right past me. You can hear the wind fly by my ear. That's how close it is. Again, I don't think these people are going to hit me. I do subscribe to that tough Youngstown Midwestern mentality as opposed to the LA kind of, you know, okay, excuse me, you can go now. Excuse me, there you go. You know, I do kind of, you know, represent, believe I'm part of that. But when I get out here walking, it's a different beast. No, and it could be, it's definitely the culture. It could be these people, number one, a lot of people don't even see me. A lot of people aren't used to pedestrians out here. There's no doubt about that. A lot of people don't even see me. I gotta like wait. I'll just stop and wait. Cause it's obvious they ain't looking. And they looking one way. And I just wait. I've learned to stay out of the way now. And even if I'm with the stroller, I gotta be extra cautious. They don't care. They don't care. They'll make that turn in front of you to get by with what I call will be a minimal space. Let alone the crosswalk law. Like this guy, get ready to do it here. Of course, he gonna squeeze in there. That was easy. It's a female. It don't matter. And you gotta watch. And I watch. See, I swing way out. I don't mess around. I'll swing way out. Get out of the way. Cause these people. And, you know, to sound, because I'm a little pissy about the whole thing and the place. And having my life put in peril. I'm thinking to myself, where the hell these people gotta go? It's so important in this piss-ass town. It may be the ultimate remote location, but I'm like, you ain't got nothing to do. You ain't got nothing important. Ain't nothing important in this town, because I'm angry. So that's the way I'm feeling. People in such a hurry. But again, it's that Midwestern Youngstown, small town, whatever, kind of mindset. But I gotta go, gotta go. Gotta get there. It's competitive even to the driving point. It's competitive to where like, you gotta get to where you gotta get. It's all about efficiency. See, even I think that car drove up on me kind of close. It might be me being a little bit overdoing it. It could be. It could be, very well be me doing too much, thinking too much about it. And maybe I'm on alert now. But in LA, you get space. You get space. I'll cross the street. People will stop a quarter mile down the road to let me by. You step your foot out in traffic, everybody will stop. In fact, they stop too much. And I'll complain about that too. Yes, I do. I'll complain about them stopping too much. I'll be like, just go. But not like here. You gotta watch. I watch every corner I turn. And like I said, three times a day it doesn't happen. Here I am. At my midpoint, and I look at this dude. He ain't looking. He ain't looking. They be looking that one way. They go to make that right. Like they in such a hurry. Like, and I could also almost see how it's kind of a team thing to where they'll be like, you don't gotta get out of the way, gotta keep it moving, blah, blah, blah. I'm looking over there. Oh, I see the crossing light. I see it now. I ain't thought I saw a crossing light on that side. I can understand how people say, I can get out of the way. You know, I'm gonna get out of the next guy's way so we can keep it moving. You know, keep traffic moving, keep things flowing. I'm also thinking, Joanne Coughlin? I know a Joanne Coughlin. Hold up. Don't I know a Joanne Coughlin? What the hell? I remember her, she had blonde hair though, the one I remember. Did y'all see that? Joanne Coughlin, Joanne Elaine Coughlin. Y'all see that? Wow, 1974. No, that might've been 74, we was 12. She would've been that old. Might be her mother or something, Joanne Coughlin. What the hell? Anyway. Missing since 74. 74, I was in fifth grade. She would have been that old. That was like right before I went to St. Pat's. That's where I met her. Oh, she's interesting. Huh. You see that? Oh, you probably can't see it. Anyway. I'm like, so where y'all got to go that's so important anyhow? You ain't got nothing to do in this damn city. Ain't nothing to do in this damn city. So what you talking about? Swooping all by me. I even Googled what the law is. Crosswalk law. It obviously don't count here. And like I said, you know, I'm from this area. I like to say, think that I represent this mentality of where, you know, you tough it up, kid. Just, you know, live through it. Tough it up. Because you walk and you can forget it. People going, there is no walking lanes. They don't, pedestrians get no respect. See how people just pull, park right in the walking area? And I get it. I get it. I get it. I get it. Because there's probably not a lot of pedestrians out here. It's probably not a lot of people who do walking out here. So they're probably not used to it. Because like when I walk down this here, I barely see other people walking. You know, one or two people every now and then. Not like in LA where, you know, we got joggers all the time or people walking their dogs and fitness people everywhere you go. It's like, I think I've only seen two other strollers, people with strollers on this street. The last few years I've been walking. And one of the strollers was a black dude and the stroller was empty. It looked like a new stroller and he didn't look like, you know, all crazy or nothing. Or homeless, because there ain't too many homeless back here. Because homeless is not a viable option out here because of winter. You don't be seeing tents and all that, encampments and the whatnot. But then again, I guess, with all the vacant houses back here. But even with the wintertime, you can't stay in a vacant house, you know, in the winter. You'll freeze to death. But anyway, that's what I want to say about that. This pedestrian thing. They will run your ass over. One time I was with granddaughter, I had granddaughter stroller, and this car went flying by me around the, made a left. You know, it squeezed in that little space between me, and I was like halfway across the street. I was like, what the hell? Or it's behind me or something. But it was too close. And that's when I learned. You know, I guess I'm really realizing it now. As I said it, you know, you back in Youngstown, baby. You back in Youngstown. You ain't in L.A. no more. Take that weepy, whiny, ooh, he almost hit me bullshit back to L.A., baby. You know, I like the rep. I like the rep that I'm back from back here. But I'm soft. I ain't gonna lie, I'm soft. Let wintertime come. I'll show you how soft I am. Let wintertime come. And I ain't cutting no grass. I ain't shoveling no snow. Nope. I might even be bougie. I pay for everything. I pay for labor. It's an opportunity cost. I'm used to making X amount of dollars an hour. And I think it was Shaky Negan who told me. Well, I kind of knew it, but he was the one who kind of pointed it out to me. I mean, obvious, overtly, that you take how much you make an hour at work and you think about the labor of the chore that you want to undertake, and you compare it, how much is the value of that. But then there's opportunity cost. Say, like, if you ain't got nothing to do anyway, you just go ahead and knock it out. You know, that'll probably compensate for some. But I'm used to making X amount of dollars. Any activity that I can get for less than that rate and pay somebody, I got no problem with. Got no problem with it at all. Outsource it. And back here, labor is cheap. One thing I'll say about these hardworking industrial type people, they're hands-on and they take pride of being able to do it themselves. It's a lot of pride in being able to do it themselves and accomplishing themselves and getting it done for themselves. It's like now as I'm walking up here now, the light is green and I'm scared to death. This person sitting here, you know, walking in their car, you know, she's a nice little Caucasian lady. Kind of nice, happy demeanor, smiley. But she's just way too close to that crosswalk. And, you know, I don't trust them. And when I say nice, white lady, I meant more of a class thing. I'm a classist. You know, so when I say nice white lady, I really mean maybe upper middle class or middle class type of person. You know, probably educated, nice house, decent credit rating, and all that. You know, it's not really racial. Well, it is racial to me because back here, the idea of ghetto and ghetto mentality and ghetto flavor and ghetto style is real back here. It's distinct. And a lot of people, well, I ain't gonna say a lot of people, but some people take pride in it and it represents them and they want that to represent who they are. They want to be a part of that. And then of course you got your white boys back here who want to be country. You got your Trump people, you know, back here, you know, the guns and not so much stars and bars overtly, but, you know, you can see the ethnicities back here. You see some real white people back here, some really, and black people, almost inbred, the limited gene pool. You can see it on these people, you know. You can just look at it and see it. And they look like, you know, not like hillbillies or nothing, but, you know, they have that ultra-American. And now see, here's what I see. Now look at it, see this guy, see how they pull out here? They don't know nothing about pedestrians. They don't know nothing about pedestrians. And I ain't gonna go. I'm gonna walk back behind here and let him go because he ain't even looking. He ain't even looking at me at all. Then when I walk out here like this, I gotta make sure don't nobody come from that way. See, that old man probably didn't even see me at all. So I walk behind the cars. Like I said, it could be me. It could be me. And then the passenger sitting in there looking at me. I wonder if they know that he don't see me or if he gonna go or she looking at me saying, hey, I hope he know not to walk out in front of the car. I hope he know not to walk out in front of that car. Oh, what was I saying when I was talking unnecessarily and probably inappropriately about race? You'll see some white people back here who, through breeding, are white. White people to me come after Caucasian. There's some Europeans. I have a glimpse into the European culture. Kind of an inside look through a friend of mine, through the Dane. I see pictures of her family and you know that stuff. That's Caucasian. That's before white. White is once you come and get contrast with black people over here. We got white people. them over there is Caucasians. This is, these people are so white. They not white. They so white. It's before you. It's so pure. It's pure. You can see here that the white people here are mixed with something. It's different. It's just different. You know, because over there, you're talking about real Caucasian at the root. Over here, and you see some white people, quote unquote hillbillies, or from the hills, or even some people here from Youngstown, where you see this, you can see where their lineage has just been pure. I mean, been in a smaller gene pool, stayed within the bounds of certain ethnicity, a tight, small ethnicity window. And you can see it in their physical build and the way they look. The skin and all that. And usually weight too. They usually seem to be overweight. They usually seem to carry weight differently. But you can see that they've been exposed to the black, or a black or a hipper, more modern culture. So they have kind of some of that ghetto slickness or ghetto tendency. But be looking as goober and as country as anything. And you know, you hear them talking, how they do stuff. And you're like, oh, okay. You know. So you have some of that back here. And I may or may not have my feelings about it. And I mean, I'm sure I got a subjective opinion. There's no doubt about that. That's just what I do. But for the most part, I don't care. You know, a lot of things, you know, I talk about here, I might be critical there. I might say this about that, say this about them, you know, feel this way about that. But the bottom line is, I don't really care. And, you know, we got to remember that. That I really don't care enough for... Sometimes I think I really don't care enough for my opinion to matter to anybody. I'll say anything. Don't get me wrong. I will say anything. But I really don't care enough to... I should have an impact on people. I don't care enough to where my opinion should have an impact on somebody. Unless what I'm saying hits a nerve or resonates with something that somebody may already believe and it triggers them, or something somebody's already had in their head and I say something. Because people, I really don't care. I don't. All I care about is Jeffrey. To a large degree. And that's not, and that's true. That's true. All I care about is Jeffrey. That's definitely true. And as I said many times before, Jeffrey just doesn't incorporate Jeffrey. There's a team and infrastructure. His family and friends. And see, like here, I can make this light. See, this light is still yet green. I could have been made it across the street. I'm scared to try it. I'ma wait. That light's still green. I can still make it. Now watch, as soon as I go, I can still make it, but I ain't, because I'm scared to death of these people. Damn, that light is still green. Now it turned yellow. See, now it turned yellow. And I'll wait. I'll wait and let these people go. That's how they got me trained. You see that? That's how they got me trained. I stay away. I'm staying away from them. I'll wait. And even though the light, now I'll let the light turn. And I'll come. Now what? And this rear car might try to shoot in front of me. It's too much. I'm telling y'all. They got me trained now. Anyway, I love this city. And I guess in LA, I wonder if is it different, the ethnicities? I think it could be that in LA, everybody is new, relatively speaking. The cultures are already mixed up. Maybe people have been here so long that the breeds and the lineages have remained pure for longer, because you really don't see, I don't want to say rednecks, but you know, that type of thing. I don't want to say rednecks, but that might give you an image of what I'm talking about. The people you could just look at and see that, you know, there's not much mixture in their gene pool. And you don't, I don't see that much in LA. Everybody looks to be, and I know I probably can't say this, a more modern Homo sapiens, genetically more diverse or something. You don't see the kind of deep ethnicity that I see here in Ohio, or I see in from Europe, and that deep hundreds of years of breeding, you know, culminating into a person, into what makes up a person. But not sure how I got on that. Oh, I got on that because I was talking about these people running me over. Like I said, they're not going to run me over, you know, but they're going to come close. They're going to come close to you. You know, they ain't going to run me over, but they're going to come close. You know, they're going to come close. They are going to come close. Well, y'all got me thinking about Googling Joanne Coughlin, because I was thinking about her, actually. Literally, I was thinking about her because I was thinking about, you know, because I went to see Sharon North perform at the Playhouse. She put on, her company put on something at the Youngstown Playhouse. And I went out and saw it. And I was thinking about who are, you know, Mooney people, Hootis people, St. Pat's people who might be there. And somehow, I thought of Joanne Coughlin, because when we were back in sixth or seventh grade or so, she, her father passed away. And we even went to the funeral, you know, the mass and all that. And somehow I forgot. And we were like teasing or playing or something. And she said something to me. And I said, "Your daddy." And I totally forgot. You know, I completely forgot. I didn't know. I was like, "Yeah, your daddy." He said, You mean that? I was like, "Yeah, your daddy." I mean, you know, I didn't know. I didn't put it together. Like, "Your daddy." People around me was like, "Whoo. Do you really mean that? Really?" I was like, "Yeah." I was like, "Yeah." And then dude, we call him dude, Lewis Jones, pulled me to the side. He was like, "Man, you know her father passed away." And I remember it and I felt bad. And I still feel kind of, you can see I obviously remember that. So I still feel kind of bad about it all these years. And I was like, "Tell her I forgot. Tell her I didn't know." He was like, "No, you tell her." And I still feel weird and bad about that. That was not something I intended to do. You know, I'm thinking, would I apologize about that? Would I apologize about that? I don't know. But if there was something I would apologize about, it would be something like that. I don't think I would be able to actually say the words, but I may, you know, put together a little soliloquy or statement that pretty much says that, you know, that express my, is sorrow the word? Can I have sorrow but not be sorry? I don't know. But I do remember that. That's why I saw that. When I saw Duran Coghlan up there, I was like, oh, of all people, you know, to come up like that. And it says she was missing for 74. Shit, that's what? 74 is 84, 94, 2004. 40 years? Damn. 40 years ago? 50. That's got to be 50 years. Because I was 12 and I'm 62 now. Yeah, I got to Google that. Find out what's going on with that. Yeah. Anyway, I do love this city. And I need to man up. I love this city and I need to man up. Worried about somebody. Ain't nobody gonna hit you, nigga. Nigga or nigger. you get some both of that. And that's one thing. Another thing I love about this city, probably. Even though everybody's scared to say nigger now, even white people scared, I'm hoping that somebody, there's still some white boys back here that ain't scared to call a nigga a nigger. I am hoping there's still somebody back here ain't scared to get in somebody's face and call somebody a nigger. Because in the media, they don't say it. Television programs say it. Even black people don't say it. And I think it's because, you know, it's not that they, you know, ashamed of the word, afraid of the word, or whatever. I think it's because of the way the podcast and the way... I think it's the way the podcast and the way YouTube, the algorithms, you know, transcribe and will police your videos if you use certain words. I think that's more why they say N-word. Because I know a lot of, but there's still some people, you know, there's some though, they still use the word nigga. You know, like Kevin Garnett and them, you know, his videos about sports or whatever, they still use it. You know, Eddie Griffin and them, they still use it. I guess they ain't worried about it. Maybe they ain't syndicated, or they ain't worried about this or worried about that, or maybe they get a pass. But, and you know, in the tone in which they use the word nigga, man, that nigga, you know. And like I said, I've been on the bus in LA. There are white people, Mexicans, you call each other nigga. Nigga? You know, so it's just this, with this new woke, super woke mentality and the whole George Floyd thing and the whole Black Lives Matter thing. You know, the way that came off or comes off. The way that comes off or came off. Got everybody on edge about race and political correctness and DEI and all that. I'm watching House of Dragon. Way too much female. I love House of Dragon. Don't get me wrong. Rhaenyra, Allison. I like Rhaenyra, the mother, Corlys's wife. But it's just way too much female. Way too much female. And then all the males are crazy. All the males are crazy. And Damon, who, he's crazy, and probably the most masculine one, might be the prettiest one. it's just a lot of females, you know. It's all female. And that hit me yesterday when I was watching it. And I was like, and it kind of turned me. It kind of turned me. I was like, okay. You know, I was like, all right. And I didn't want to, because I like the program. I don't want to get turned off by it. But I came close. I came really close to realizing, because I'm sitting there. Rhaenyra's the queen. And it's a whole bunch of old white men being portrayed as old white men, as typical old white men who want to go to war or want to fight. And it's the females who are leading it and in control. And Rhaenyra stands up against them. You know, she holds her ground against them. And the females are like gonna fix it and make it all better because the males can't. Because all the males want to do is kill and fight and murder. And I get it. And they could have made the plot a little bit more nuanced. And maybe make the characters a little bit ambiguous or something. You know? They ain't got to be all obviously stereotypical. That's all I'm saying. All right, y'all. I think I'm running out of space on this camera. Storage on my phone. But I could fix it. I got backups. And I could do stuff. And I could actually save a backup to my storage. To my storage in Ohio. I mean, back in California. Over the internet. Takes a while. Takes a few hours, but that's what computers do. Just let it run. Let it run in the background. I can still keep using it. Or I can just let it run while I'm at work or if I'm asleep. It'll save a copy of everything on my phone to my hard drive in my living room. Securely over the internet. Anyway, I think I got a... let me take a look and see. Yep, storage running out. All right. Swing on, y'all. All right. Swing on, y'all, two times. For me, for the phone. And for every elementary particle that has ever existed in any atom in this or any universe that ever was, is, or will be. The totality of it all. Hypothesis of all as one. Theory of universe. My name is Jeffrey.